scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 12, starting on Luke 12, beginning at verse 50 to 13, to Luke 13, verse 9. And the text for the sermon itself are the verses 6 through 9. So we'll turn to that in a moment. Baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and Jesus answered and said to them, do you not suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. So far in the scripture reading. The sermon this morning is one prepared by Reverend Jack Whisker, retired minister of the Owen Sound Canadian Reformed Church. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, every day you hear in the news about people losing their lives due to disasters, wars, accidents, and crimes. And then generally people want to know about the how and the why and so on. Well, some people once came to Jesus and told him of some similar news like that. About the recent deaths of the people in Jerusalem. It seems that some Galileans had come to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, and the Roman authorities, for some other reason, had killed them along with their sacrificial animals. How they had mixed the blood of those people with the blood of the animals that they come to sacrifice. What would Jesus say about that? What would his commentary be about those awful, horrible deaths? But then in his reply to the Lord Jesus, he mentions another sad incident that also occurred not long before and was still front page news at the time. 18 Jews had been killed when the Tower of Siloam had fallen. A terrible construction accident, apparently. And then the Lord Jesus posed the question, which he knew lived in their hearts. Why did those people die so tragically, while others could simply continue to live, work, and enjoy their life? Were these people who died worse sinners than all the other people who lived in Jerusalem, who remained alive at that time? That's what a lot of people thought in those days. The person who died tragically must have been guilty of some extra heinous sin. They tried to figure out why those people in particular died so tragically. What was the cause? And that's something today that people talk about as well. When they hear about senseless killings or about tragic deaths in the news, why? Why were the people who died being punished? Were they being punished in some way for some past sins? Was it some kind of karma? Well, the Lord Jesus says very emphatically, that's the wrong question to busy yourself with. Why this person is taken and not another person is something that belongs to God's secret counsel. The Lord Jesus turns the whole question around. Rather than questioning why others are tragically killed or die terrible deaths because of accidents or disasters, he says, we need to ask ourselves, why are we still alive yet? And that's the biggest issue of all. Why does God allow you and me to go on living at this time? That's the question that the Lord Jesus focuses on in our text, with the parable of the fig tree. And I preached to you the Lord's answer to that question in our text with the following theme, Jesus' exhortation to a life of repentance, with the 2 points. Firstly, God seeks the fruit of repentance, and secondly, God gives us time to bear that fruit. Congregation, Jesus wonderfully illustrated what he wanted to say with a parable. There was a certain man. That man, we could say, represents God, God the Father. And that man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. The vineyard represented Israel in those days, the covenant people, often called the vineyard of the Lord God. Today we could say, the Church of God. And that fig tree, every member of it, you and I. That fig tree was planted in that man's vineyard. That happened more often in those days. Fig trees can grow in very tough and dry conditions. But sometimes, a fig tree was also planted in a vineyard. Grapevines needed better soil and would be watered when it was extra dry. So a fig tree would do well there amongst the vines. In a vineyard, the fig tree would be more protected from the dry winds that could blow there. So it could be expected that the fig tree would grow faster and would be extra fruitful. So that fig tree and that vineyard planted in a great spot was given special attention and care. That could be said of every covenant child of God, then as well as today. We've been planted with care by God. Not just a twig stuck in the ground somewhere at random. No, God deliberately chose a place for us to be born and to grow. We are in the time and place that God has chosen for us. Planted in good soil, hemmed in and cared for in his vineyard, some later on as a young tree already, but many of us as tiny shoots, born and raised in a Christian family, but all planted by God's grace in his vineyard, the church, and cared for by God, by a family and church, watered and fertilized with the gospel and Sunday worship and home visitation and the family at home, in the Christian schools and catechism, in the Bible study groups. How often haven't our souls been watered and fertilized over the past few years? How many times at home, church, or school hasn't the Bible been read? And haven't we heard prayers offered up to God for his grace and his Holy Spirit thousands of times a year? How wonderful that God has chosen such a place for us to be planted, fed, to be watered, to be fertilized and protected among all the other churches here. So many other fig trees just stand on their own, open, unprotected on the bare hills, not in a vineyard, in a covenant family or a covenant congregation. They never or seldom hear the Bible read or prayers offered up. They stand in barren and dry soil, you can understand that, why they don't produce much or any fruit. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, why am I, why are you, planted in a vineyard while others are not? Why have some ended up being transplanted here and others not? I don't know. Only God knows. He could have let us be born in the middle of India, in a Hindu family and culture or so, or among people in Canada who know little to nothing about the Bible. Maybe think it's just a book full of fairy tales. But God didn't do that. Of all people, He carefully planted you and me in His vineyard, in good soil. Well then, He should be able to expect us to grow, to produce fruit, shouldn't He? If you were to plant an apple tree in a perfect spot, for instance, you'd look the next year to see if there was any apples on it, right? If you planted strawberries in your garden, you'd expect some fruit on the plants when you look the following year, wouldn't you? Well, God, He seeks fruit too. But in Jesus' parable, the owner of the vineyard doesn't find any fruit. And then you need to realize that in the Middle East, a fig tree normally bears fruit twice a year. You have early fruit in the spring and through the summer, and then fruit again in the fall, and even into the winter. You could expect to see fruit on a fig tree maybe 10 months of the year. But the owner of the vineyard didn't find any fruit for those 3 whole years. If the Lord God seeks fruit in us, whom He planted in His vineyard, His church, will He find fruit? The fruit of faith and repentance? Will He see that we seek our lives outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ alone? Because that's the fruit that comes with daily repentance. He will discover that the pride and self-righteousness that lives in us by nature is being put to death, and that we humbly seek the righteousness of Christ more and more. Is that what He'll find? That we hate and flee sin and love and delight in God's will and word? That the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5 as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are more and more becoming part and parcel of our characters? God seeks the fruit of repentance in the parable, but He finds none. Over 3 years, He finds nothing. Maybe Jesus had in mind here the time of His ministry, His proclaiming of the gospel of the kingdom to Israel for 3 years. But there was little or no real fruit to God. The leaders in particular didn't want to bow to Him. There were leaves. Fig trees have large leaves, but there was no fruit. And what about us? Maybe lots of leaves? We do all the expected things in church and in life. But is there truly fruit of repentance? Fruit that we see in Galatians 5. Maybe small yet, but at least fruit. If you planted an apple or a pear tree in your garden and didn't find any fruit after a year or two or three, what would you say? Maybe you would say, I'm going to cut down that tree. I'm going to plant a new one. It's just using up space in my garden, but it doesn't produce anything. And so what could be more logical and just for God to say, remove that tree, that covenant child from my vineyard? He or she isn't bearing any fruit anyways. It's just taking up room in my covenant vineyard. God has every right, doesn't He? If there's no fruit of faith and repentance growing in your life, maybe we think, I'll break with that sin later, but not now. I'll change the way I act later, maybe. Too busy right now. I don't want to stick out amongst my friends, my co-workers. Now is just not the time. And besides, God should give me that time yet anyways, right? I haven't had the best circumstances in my life. You know, I've had a lot of difficulties and disadvantages to deal with. Maybe later. Oh, the owner of the vineyard, our God,
He is patient.
That's very clear from Jesus' parable too. When the owner of the vineyard waits for years to give that fig tree opportunity to bear fruit. He's so long-suffering. He's so patient. He plants it in his vineyard, in good soil. He has the tree watered and fertilized. And he's willing to wait those years so that fig tree has ample time to bear fruit. So he's not unreasonable then when he seeks fruit. He has a right. He has a right to in our lives. The question the Lord Jesus wants us to ask ourselves today, in light of the tragic deaths we read about or hear about in the news, then, not why those deaths, but what about my life? Does my life bear fruit for God? That's the key question that we need to ask in our life. That's what life, your life, and my life is about. Not about being successful or rich or even happy as such. No, God gives us life today so that we might bear fruit for Him, to His glory, like a fig tree in His vineyard. This brings us to our second point. God gives us time to bear that fruit. Why doesn't He just end things right away when there's no fruit? Well, because there's someone else in Jesus' parable, the vine dresser. He's apparently the person who works and cares for the vineyard. Not only do we go far wrong to see that this person is Jesus Christ Himself. He intercedes for the fig tree. He was born man and walked here with us. He knows the temptations we face. He was tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. That's why He's such a wonderful high priest for us to have, as it says in Hebrews 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He intercedes for us before God's throne. He places Himself between Almighty God and us and asks for more time for us now. More time to grow the fruits of faith and repentance. The vine dresser in the parable says, "Sir, give it more time. Let me dig around it. Let me loosen up the soil. Let me put some manure around it to fertilize it. Think again of the Lord Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Don't count their sins against them, but give them time yet. Time for people who had heard His gospel to believe and to repent yet. That they would know about His crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And then come to insight yet afterwards through the preaching of His gospel." That's what He means with digging around the fig tree so that the water reaches the roots and fertilizing it with manure. He asked the Father to give time. He yearns for that tree to bear fruit. That's His desire, that sinners repent and live. The desire to save overcomes the right to destroy. Congregation, just think. This is why you and I are still here today. God's justice is restrained by His mercy in Christ, by Christ's intercession for each one of us. That's why we're still alive today. See, we shouldn't think that because we're alive and can enjoy our life here means that things are all good and fine between us and God. No, that we're alive at this moment is because Jesus bore the burden of God's wrath against us on the cross. The tree that bore the only perfect fruit was cut down and thrown into the fire. And He rose from the dead. And now He intercedes at God's right hand. Father, give them time to hear and see and grow and bear fruit. By His intercession, Jesus holds back God's righteous judgment against our sins so that we have time to bear fruit. The fitting repentance today yet. He has no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but that he turns to Him and lives. Congregation, if you think that through, won't that bring you to flee to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance every day again?
every time you open the Bible, every time you hear the gospel here in church, he's calling you, come to me. With one hand he holds back God's justice, and with the other he beckons you to come. Come to him in faith and repentance. And if you see things like that, that should make you incredibly humble every time again. Shouldn't it? Lord, what a wonder that I'm still here, that I'm still given time to produce fruit befitting repentance, that you haven't gotten tired of me and my sins and sinfulness and cut me down and thrown me into the fire, but that you carried me all the years of my life and gave me the time, what I needed in your word, in the church, so I could grow and produce the fruit of faith and repentance. Maybe there was a time when there was very little or no fruit of faith and repentance at all in your life. What a wonder then that the Lord Jesus said to God the Father, wait yet, give that person some time. See, that's what the vine dresser prays to the owner of the vineyard. He asked for time yet. Time to dig, to loosen up that soil. Jesus digs up the soil of your life like that. He does that by chastising you, by testing you. When things are being overturned in your life, then the ground under your life is being dug up. It's being shaken. It's being shaken up so that the Word of God sinks in and has deeper meaning for you. You become more sensitive to the truth of the gospel, more dependent on Christ, more thoughtful, rather than just living for the moment. Then the vine dresser is busy, letting the Word sink in more. And he waters and fertilizes. You listen more closely to the preaching of the Word. It can seem as if parts of the sermon are directed right at you, or the words of the Bible meditation you're reading are written exactly for your specific situation. The vine dresser is at work then, brothers and sisters, so that you can bring forth fruit. More and more, so that you more and more seek your life outside of yourself in Jesus Christ and in following him, so that you live in heartfelt faith and humble repentance more and more. And it's your Savior who is patiently and graciously at work with you then. So you continue to grow while you have the time, so that you may not be cut away, thrown away, but transplanted. Transplanted to heaven, to bear perfect fruit for God's glory forever. But if in spite of the work of the vine dresser, there is no fruit, there is still no fruit, the owner's patience certainly will come to an end. Then he'll tell the vine dresser to cut it down. And no one will be able to say then that that's too harsh or too unjust. No. Then the time was wasted. It was misused. And that time, it'll never come back. It's gone. And in hell, there's only weeping and gnashing of teeth in eternal regret. We mentioned that the vine dresser looks like Jesus. Well, the vine dresser in the Bible times had servants working for him too. And we can think of the Lord's servants around us. Office bearers who the vine dresser has appointed to help him take care of the vineyard, help him take care of the trees. You can also think of parents and teachers. They're also servants in God's vineyard. In a way, we're all servants of the Lord here. All of us are called to help and encourage and also to admonish one another with the word so that the master of the vineyard might find fruit in your life. And every servant is then called to be like the great servant of God, Jesus, in another way too. With respect, making intercession for one another. Think of Job, who according to Job 1, regularly prayed for his children. Because as he said, it may be that my children have forsaken God in their hearts. And if you as a servant in God's vineyard notice a fig tree that doesn't seem to be growing much or any fruit, then, like the chief vine dresser, you make intercession for that person. You pray for them. You take time to pray for them. Then you each encourage each other. You reach out to encourage, to edify, and if necessary, to admonish in in order to call back. In the words of the Lord Jesus, "Blessed is the servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes, praying and working so that all may bear, be fruitful for God." Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, that's the Lord Jesus' lesson in reaction to the news about those Galileans who were horribly killed by Pilate, and those people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. He wanted his disciples to understand what those happenings were all about, so that they would ask themselves the right question. Not why did those people die, but am I planted in God's vineyard by grace, using the opportunity today to produce the fruit of heartfelt faith and daily repentance to God's glory? Then we need to use the time given to us through the intercession of Christ to let His Word and His Spirit work in us to fertilize our life so that we may bear fruit of God's glory. The time to say, "I'm sorry, forgive me," that time is now. The time to give up that sinful habit we know that we need to give up, that time is now. The time to produce the fruit of love, patience, peace, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control for God is now. Amen. Let's pray. Our Almighty God and merciful Father in Jesus Christ, thank you for letting us be together here in worship of you this morning. Now we could experience your love in that. It's amazing, Father, that you know us so well, and that you call us to yourself every Sunday again with your word. Also in the part of the Bible we concentrated on this morning, while bearing the fruit of faith and repentance. Give us the understanding and acceptance that we have time here and now because of Christ's intercession for us, so that we may have every opportunity to bear fruit for you, our gracious God. And our Savior sends His Spirit through the Word and tests us, so that there may be fruit to your delight and glory. O Father, will you work on our hearts now and in the future, so that we may use the time to grow more and more fruit for you. That we may pray for wisdom to imitate our Savior in this intercession for us, in that we intercede for one another too. Gracious God, we pray that you will give us the wisdom and the strength to walk with you all our days. And we all have our struggles in life with health or relationships, or with weakness or with others, other needs. Help us to walk with you in those things too. Let those struggles only bring us to greater spiritual fruitfulness. And help us then too in our word and deed to let others know the blessedness of walking with you. Help us to let our neighbor hear about you, even if they don't like that, even if they resist that message, even if they dislike us for doing that. Help us to remind others of where everything is headed, namely to you, to standing before your throne. Work in our hearts that we may always look forward to the eternal reward of believers, which is to receive the glorious victory which Jesus Christ has obtained for us. Help us to remember from day to day that that's the reward of true faith in Christ, fruit-bearing faith. And that makes the whole struggle of faith more than worth it. Let that motivate us to believe and to grow in our faith and in the fruits of faith every day you allow us. Father, hear our prayer and accept our praises and our thank offerings, and be with us so that we can worship your name again this afternoon. In Jesus' name alone we pray and give thanks. Amen.